Hello and welcome to a part of Cthulhu. Behind the bar, we have a very special guest this time. Chrissy, the actual professional voice actress. We've never had someone of your caliber on here before. Say hello.
Hello. I don't know about caliber. I mean, I'm pretty amateur, I think. But I appreciate the accolades for sure. My ego will take it.
Always good to feed the ego every now and again. And of course, I have my co-host, Jay.
Hey.
And so, the very first question we ask every guest is, if you could say a pint of Cthulhu was any type of drink, what would it be?
Oh, it's got to be a beer. But probably, I must say, like a dark lager. Something
not
chewy.
The first time we've had that.
Guinness specifically twice, I think.
I don't know. So, do we have a coffee milk stout here that is absolutely divine? I'd go more that route.
Coffee milk?
Mm-hmm.
I'd try it.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Definitely stick a link up. I want to have a see of that. Like me some coffee in the morning. Jay, would you like to ask the first proper question?
So, you're the first voice actor we've actually had on here, I believe. What got you into voice acting?
You know, it's a funny story. It's actually a really, it's a crazy story. I used to have an actual play podcast called Danger Dames, and our premise was very similar to y'all's, where we did a different system each season. Our whole premise was we wanted to showcase independent games that don't get looked at because, you know, the big D&D always gets all the attention. And then on top of that, we wanted to do a podcast that was women only because, again, tons of podcasts, actual play, not that there's anything wrong with it, are men playing at the table. And we wanted to show women that women play. And so we created that in 2019. And I started working at a podcast studio. That's how I learned how to do the recording and everything else for that. And we did that for years, and I got onto Twitter, and I was like, how are we going to grow our audience? And Twitter was helping. I mean, we saw an immediate boost. And then I was like, okay, so also how do I grow an audience? I have a marketing degree, so my brain's always churning with how can I do this better? And I was like, oh, you know what? I could leverage somebody else's audience. And I'd already done a couple of interviews with other shows, but I was like, man, I saw an audition notice for a Megastar 7. And I was like, I could probably do that. I mean, I do voices in my actual play. So, you know, it's not that much different. And I did acting when I was younger. So it wasn't that much of a stretch. I stopped acting when I had my children because who has time? And so I was like, great. I auditioned and got the part. He said I had nailed it. And I quickly realized that I really liked it. And it just kind of spiraled. Like from there, it was like other people started reaching out. And were like, hey, we'd love for you to be in our show. And I would do small parts. And then I got other people being like, hey, we'd like you to do our show. And I mean, I will put my link, I guess, to my website. You'll see I have quite a repertoire of shows that I've been on. And I don't even think I have everything on there. There's some bit parts I haven't thought of. I'm still working on trying to. It's been a stretch of like 4 years now. So trying to figure out where everything fit when and what I did has been a little tricky. But I need a secretary. I think it's really what it comes down to. But so that's kind of how it happened. And like I said, I just really realized I really actually genuinely have a good time doing voice acting. So, and I'd love to like actually make this a thing.
You said you played a bunch of various TTRPGs. Do you have a favorite one in mind?
I love Monster of the Week. Hands down, it is my favorite game. I just really dig its whole premise. You know, I'm a Buffy girl. I'm a... You know, just charmed, like the whole thing. And it just really jams with my type of entertainment anyway, you know, the urban fantasy. And so, yeah, Monster of the Week is bar none, probably my favorite game that I've ever played. I've played it several different times with various different people. But and I don't think we actually played it on one of our seasons that we recorded. It was something we did for fun. And then we were sad we hadn't recorded it. But, you know, that's the vein of like being an audio person is you're like, man, everything should be recorded. This would have been great. And you don't think about it at the time. Hindsight's 2020, but yeah, Monster of the Week.
Okay, so how long have you been a VA for then?
So I guess I got the part for Moxie in 21. And so since then, yeah, like Danger Dame started in 19. We had to go local home in 2020, obviously, for obvious reasons. At first, we all recorded using online, and oh god, there's like 7 episodes that are like my least favorite episodes as an audio person because they, you know, like tech issues, and my other people were not tech people, so they didn't know how to use the mics right. So I was getting headphone mics instead of mics, even though I bought the mics. It's a whole thing.
and then you all met her.
But fortunately, like, I think people are forgiving because they, like, understood that that's what it was. And then we potted up after the, like, 12 weeks of, like, isolation. And that was just who we spent the year with. So it made it very easy to record together because we would just at a basement. And that became my podcast studio. And we would record down there. And frankly, that was my saving grace, I think, that year, is it gave me something to focus on besides, you know, keeping two children at home for school, which is not fun. And so, yeah.
So you said you play various roles in multiple different shows. If you can pick one in particular that you would love to just redo, not so much because you didn't enjoy it, but just to relive that exact experience again, which one would you choose?
Oh gosh, probably Moxie. She's that, I tell people, that character came to me at a time in my life where I didn't even know I needed her, and she came to me, like, in a way where it's like she is her own entity. The boys made me a poster because she was a musician, right? She's a rock star in science, in space. And so I have this, it's like a band poster of Moxie. And it's, as I come up my stairs, you can see the door behind me, as I come up my stairs, it's right in front of me. And yeah, she's just this entity that has, like, been in my life as, like, this alternative personality, if you will. She was a lot of fun, but I've played some really great characters that have been just totes fun to play, and most of them I'm still playing, so there's not really lament to wanting to go back to them. Moxie had a end, and there's been discussion that maybe someday there would be a resurgence of her. The way that we write, I doubt it. We always have other ideas, and there's never reason to go backwards. But yeah.
Fair enough. So what's your favorite part of being a voice actor?
I like acting in general, but I have a lot of range, I've been told. And so getting to try different voices and seeing how I want to, realistically, like, I think it's living in the skin of these characters. Like, that, like, you sit down and you're like, okay, I'm going to take these lines, but suddenly you are that character. Like, you stop being Chrissy sitting at a microphone. I played this character named Laughin' Sally on this one podcast, and she was just a psychopath, just an absolute psychopath. And she was just like, and I get very, like, I film myself once so people could see what I look like when I'm recording. I get very animated while I'm recording, even though it's just me, like, the, where you see the bag behind me is literally my sound booth. It's like a 3x3 foot square. But I'm like, I'm just like gesturing and stuff like that. And I've done scenes where I've literally had conversations with myself, where I'm playing both characters in the scene and just bouncing back from one to the other. It's just fun. I don't know, like, because you're like, you're changing your personality on the fly, right? You're like, one's this like bubbly crazy elf who's just here for the fun, and then the one is this sultry evil person, and just bouncing from them is just it's challenging, and it's fun to go through that challenge. A couple weeks ago, we had a character in one of my other podcasts where it's two robots and they are melding together. And we had two different, me and myself and somebody else was doing the voices for the two robots. And then my creator was like, well, I want you to do the ultimate voice. And I was like, yeah, but how do I want that to sound? Because, like, it can't be just the singular voice. So what I ended up doing is I had the other girl record my lines for that third character. And then I literally would listen to her in my ear and try to match her cadence, but with my voice. And then I blended the two files together so that it was both our voices at the same time. And so that was, I was laughing because I think that was probably the most challenging thing I've ever done. But I was like, man, if I can pull this off, it'll sound so cool. Like, but like matching that cadence, because like we don't all speak the same way, right? Like we all have our different patterns. And so I just would sit here and I'd be like, okay. And I like, I'd record it and then I'd be like, okay, so it was definitely challenging in a fun way.
That's such an interesting way to do that. It's so smart.
Creative.
What would you say is the hardest thing about being a voice actress then?
Getting out there. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people doing it, right? And so getting, you know, I did some voice acting classes with Wes Johnson, who does a lot of characters from Bethesda games. He's done Skyrim. He's done Fallout. So I took a class with him to, like, basically, I felt like I already knew a lot of what I was doing, but I wanted to learn more about how to, like, sell me, right? Like, I'd like to do this, and the market's this filled, like, how do you get your voice out of all the noise? So that's it. I mean, fortunately, I do have an advantage of being a woman. There are less of us than there are men trying to be voice actors, but there are less female roles than there are male roles. And so I do have a tendency to fuss at people when they write things, and they'll be like, check out this thing I'll write. And I was like, you have no female characters in this story whatsoever. You need to go back to the drawing board and fix this right now. I have literally fussed at people. I auditioned for a part, I think it's about 2 years ago. A guy in our Discord was discussing his coming project, and he was very excited about it. He's like, wait up, guys, the auditions are coming. And he popped out what the audition pieces were, and the only two female roles was like the ditzy secretary and the love interest. And I was like, absolutely not. And I was mad, and I sat there with it, and I wasn't going to say anything. And then all my boys were like, I'm going to audition. And then I made a joke about, like, I'm going to audition for the main character. And they all laughed, and they were like, Moxie for the lead. And I was like, I messaged him, and I was like, I want you to know what you're not hearing is all the women that are very upset right now by this announcement. Because I, like, they were coming to me and they were very mad. And I was like, you're not hearing how mad they are at your choices of characters. I was like, I've been defending you because you are a great guy, and I know you just didn't think about it. You just didn't consider that any of these characters, that's the thing. People say, well, what makes the difference between a male character and a female character? I was like, fucking nothing. The voice. Mm-hmm. Unless the storyline is literally a baby falling out of a vagina, oh, it doesn't matter. Anybody can play the role. It's just whether or not they fit it. And so, but if you always write what you know, right?
Yeah.
And so a guy's going to write a guy character because it's what he knows. And so I'm never mad about it, but I'm always like, I expect more. And so I'm telling you this. So I did audition for the part. I did not get it because he had something else in mind for that character, but I did get the second best character in that script because he was like, you made me think. And I was like, I realized this character could easily be a female. It's like, exactly. That's all I'm saying is just look at your characters and go, does it have to be a guy? No, it doesn't. Because, like, the voice is all that matters. Like, so that can be very frustrating.
I will admit, when Matt first asked me about the podcast and I looked at whoever else was on it, it's because the podcast Panic Fool is me and then a bunch of guys. Mm-hmm. I did think going into it I'd be the only person playing a female character in our first season. And I was, yeah, Matt shaking his head, I was pleasantly surprised to find Gertrude.
Yeah, that works. That works really well in tabletop, honestly. I find a lot of men tend to play female characters, and I've always been fascinated by that. I'm like, what makes you do that? Because I can say I have never played a male character. I have no desire to play a male character. Like, as you guys asked me my pronouns, I identify she, her, all girl, always. And, like, and I'm all about female power. It's just who I am. And so, like, I have no desire to be a guy. Not that they have a desire to be a woman, but, like, I've never played a real male character.
So with me, it was interesting because I created Enid and she's a strong character. I love her character. I'd love to play a character like her again. But at least part of my decision making on that was, okay, I want there to be at least one female character here. And again, Gertrude was there. I needn't have worried as for a second. I was completely wrong in my assumption. Mm-hmm. And then I found that because there was someone playing this female character, and Gertrude is in every single season, she's reoccurring, I was freed up to play male characters and to experiment with different characters of different genders and different types that were further away from who I am than Enid was. It was very interesting to have that experience.
Yeah, I could see how that is. We, like I said, I played with women. Our GM was male, only because we couldn't really find a female here who GM'd. But also, he's an incredible GM. Like, freaking incredible. Like, I would play this man's table any day. And his use of safety tools is phenomenal. And that was one of the things we also focused on, was the use of safety tools and how that should look. And so, but we none of us played males. But we did play gender differences. Like, we played trans, we played gay, we played asexual. Like, we played all sorts of things like that, but we all played not male. And I think that was just, it wasn't even a decision. I think that's just how we all came to the table. And we played for 3 years. So I think we have 5 seasons all told. One of them's never going to be finished, unfortunately. But it is what it is. Life goes on.
Yeah. Back onto the
Go on, Matt. I was just going to add to that. How much do you think it is important for diversity in this kind of role, this kind of work? TTRPG, voice acting?
I think diversity is very important across the board in life in general. Like, as a female, I joke all the time. I'm a woman in the tech industry. I joke that I'm the only woman in the room in almost everything I do. I tabletop, I podcast, I do tech stuff. Like, I rarely run into other women. That is changing now. But, I'm a tech girl from the 90s. And so seeing that change has been brilliant. But yeah, I mean, when you see someone who looks or sounds like you in the media that you consume, it changes you. I literally tweeted about this yesterday. I was like, what media have you watched or seen or listened to that changed your life? And for me, a really big moment was Marissa Tomei in My Cousin Vinny. Such a silly little movie, but it was a scene where she's on the court and she's talking about cars and she's talking with authority about cars. And prior to that, I had never seen a woman on a show talking about crap like she knows what she's talking about. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then you'd like, and I'm the lowest common denominator, right? I'm a Caucasian woman. I'm in a middle class. I don't have a lot of differences for me. So like, if I get that excited to hear something that represents me, can you imagine being trans, gay, black, Asian? Like, how effective that is to see somebody who looks like you suddenly feel like you belong, that you're part of something. And the more we do that, the better for everyone, because it, first of all, makes it so much more interesting because we all bring our own perspectives and our own loves. And that's just what makes the world a better place in general. And I mean, that's podcasting, that's television, that's movies, that's Broadway. Girl, I remember the first time I saw a curvy girl on stage. I grew up in the 90s. They were beanpoles. And I am not a beanpole. And seeing a woman who looked like me on stage, I was like, oh, that means I could be that person. And that brings so much hope to people to see representation.
With that in mind, I guess, if you could choose any character of any piece of media, whether or not it's been adapted for a film or an audio thing, or a voice actor could work it, what character would you want to play?
Oh, gosh.
Of anything.
Anything. That's a long gamut. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff I'd play. I'd be Witcher. Like, that sounds cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm a huge Witcher fan. But, like, yeah. Something probably evil or bad. I like bad guys. They're, a lot of fun to play. And, like, because I look the way I look and I sound the way I look, I often get cast as like the girlfriend or the sister, you know? So like getting something like just evil incarnate would be a lot of fun. But I can't think for the life of me. Maybe, Harley Quinn would be a lot of fun. But like Kaylee Kukoa's Harley Quinn, where she's just chaotic as crap and you're like, you don't know what's going to come out of her mouth. I kind of like something like that.
Sorry, we've just been diverting because some of the stuff you've been saying, it's incredible.
Oh, well, thank you. I can go on and on. It's a thing.
I mean, we've been going off in the background just trying to message each other saying, she's already answered this, but this is a good one to add. So, what kind of changes have you seen in the voice acting kind of community job role over the years of doing it?
Well, like I said, I think a lot of impact. As you can tell, I have no problem speaking my mind when it comes to something that's important to me. And so I've changed a lot of perspectives on changing genders of characters or even just giving them something completely different. I've been in the bad guy because they were like, once they started hearing me, they were like, oh, you know what? I think we've got a role for you. And the role completely changes. And so I had created a Discord that was specifically for non-male voice actors. It was, originally I was like, it's the divas and it'll be about women. But then they were like, what about trans women? What about, trans men? I was like, okay, I'm not mad at this. We're trying to open the floor to people that are not commonly expected. I've made a lot of friends along the way and I have these conversations constantly and I think they're good conversations to be had. And I think I have the experience, but also like the, I don't want to say clout. That sounds like a terrible word. But like, I can speak about it in a way because I'm in a privileged place and I know that. So I know that I can lend my privilege to people whose voices can't be heard. And so I've reached out to people. I'm like, hey, I've got somebody that I think you should cast for this. I think this would be interesting differently because of it. And so realistically, really what I've seen the biggest changes in is the tabletop community. Like, when I grew up playing D&D, y'all, like, you know, I was the only girl at the table. I was the girlfriend at the table. Not even the girl at the table. I was the girlfriend at the table. When I first showed up, they were afraid of me and did not want me at their table, like, at all. Fortunately, I have a pretty easygoing personality, and I have the humor of a 14-year-old boy. It is a fact. And so it plays out really well. I get along with guys really well. But, like, the last 5 years, what I've seen evolve in the tabletop community between all of the new independent games that have come out. I mean, things like Glitter Hearts and trying to think of some of the Thirsty Sword Lesbians. Like, those are games you would have never expected to have heard of in the early aughts. And now here they are, and they are commonplace, and they are being put on podcasts. And one of the games we did play was called The Watch. And it was written by a trans woman. And the whole concept of the game is some evil has taken over the land. The land has been ravaged, but this evil only affects males. And so females, or female-identifying characters, are the watch. It's their job to watch against this evil. And like I said, because it was written by this trans woman, there's a lot involved in the gameplay addressing that. And it was fascinating. We decided to play that literally the day SCOTUS got rid of abortion rights. We were mad. We were stinking mad. And we were like, how can we express this in a way that we can control? Because, like, hey, let's be real. I'm not going to change SCOTUS's mind. And so, but yeah, seeing the changes in the community. I auditioned this past week for an actual play. And I've seen this for a couple years now, where they were like, we are putting a dominance on BIPOC people. I was like, I might not get it because I'm not that. And I have to be okay with that. I had a guy friend. I was like, oh, here's a chance. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, you're not going to stand a chance. I was like, you're a white dude. You're out. That is not what they are looking for here. And I do feel bad because he would love to play. But, like, this is how we let other people in. And so just seeing that community grow in such a beautifully represented way has been amazing.
I think I can attest to that too a little bit, because even 3 years ago, the only people I knew who really played TTRPGs were dudes. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in a college class with, like, four non-binary and female people who mm-hmm. all are super into D&D.
Right.
And it's so interesting to see that be so prominent, like, that switch.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't even allowed at the table when I first started. Like, I remember the first comic book shop I walked into, and it was like literally a record scratch. I was like, because, like, a woman walked in, and you would have thought I was there to murder them all. And I was like, I'm 4'11", y'all. You know, I'm a very tiny person. I am not intimidating at all physically. But yeah, I mean, it was eye-opening. And I didn't go back to a comic book shop for a very long time because of that experience, because I didn't feel welcome. And nowadays, man, I have no trouble walking into a comic book shop because there's almost always, like, a woman or a non-binary person there. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I belong here. And, like, I also have a lot more confidence now than I did when I was a teenager. But, yeah, the whole industry has shifted in such a beautiful way that my kids are now starting to play, and I'm excited for them to have that opportunity.
So with being someone who's done TTRPGs, like, podcasting, and also obviously a voice actor, what equipment do you use mic wise and
that's a really great question. When we started podcasting, like I said, I was at a studio, so I had, like, actual really badass equipment. I couldn't even fathom what that probably stuff cost, because it was like, yeah. And we were in this beautiful studio, which actually had really bad acoustics, but it was so cool looking because it was in the middle of this really cool building, and it had a glass window. And so we would record in front of that glass window, so people would, it's like a shopping mall basically, so people were always walking by. And I love to watch people, so, like, I just dug the crap out of that. Like, and we ended up moving from there due to some they put a radio station in there instead, and then we moved to another space in the same building, and then everything shut down. And so we came here, and I was like, okay, crap, I do know what I'm doing, but we have no equipment. Well, my father, who was a musician, had a Zoom R16, which is just a good old-fashioned mixer. nothing special, but it has four inputs. So I bought us all a bunch of XLRs, and I got a Scarlett. I used the Zoom first. And so I had the Zoom, I had XLRs, and I got us all a bunch of cheap headphones. And that's how we recorded. And it sounds fine. It doesn't sound terrible. With the good sound quality and then good editing skills, you can get away with not too bad equipment. About 2 years ago, I upgraded to a Shure MV7 for two reasons. One, I wanted a nicer mic. I was getting into it, and I was really enjoying that. The beautiful thing with the MV7 is it's XLR and USB. And I was having a lot of trouble. I had a Scarlett at that point, a 2i2, and Discord does not like it at all. Like, it just stopped working. They couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear them. It just got really frustrating. So I wanted to upgrade to something that had USB so I could still have my meetings and record with people like this without having to be in my booth and then like be able to still listen. Like, otherwise, there was one show I think I listened with one device, recorded with another just to make it work. And it was a nightmare. So I upgraded to that. And I use, right now I'm plugged in directly into my laptop, but when I record professionally, I have a Scarlett 8i8, I can't remember, it's the 4.1, 4 port one that I use. And then I have a Cloud Lifter because the Shure is notoriously low gain. And if I turn the gain up, it picks up everything in the room. And so the Cloud Lifter helps get the gain up higher without picking up all of that ambient noise. And so realistically at this point, the next thing I need to upgrade is my boom, because this boom is a nightmare. It vibrates if I get really loud, and that makes my brain really crazy. So I will probably be upgrading that in the nearest future. But I've made it work for the most part. But like, as I start to, I've been auditioning for actually paid stuff. And as I've started to audition for paid stuff, I'm like, I need to like upgrade some of this more. So, but yeah, I mean, there's also, like I said, you can get away with quite a bit without having to spend a ton. It, realistically, that just falls on your post. Fix it in post, right? As they say. But I adore this mic, and I actually travel with it because it's pretty compact. So I'll take my 2i2 and I will just hit the road. And like, I went to the beach one time and recorded lines at the beach in a closet because I like needed to get lines in, but I was like, have mic will travel. I think it's partially because I work from home. I'm used to like taking my tech with me. So
just looking at the boom arm now, have you got the same kind of cheapy one off of Amazon as I've got?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like $20. Yeah, it's awful. No, I think I'm gonna probably get the I don't remember which one. I have one picked out. It's you know, it's like $100, and it's summer and I got my kids, so it's like it'll happen. Like the mic I got as a gift from like my whole family. Like they all went in together and bought me the mic, Cloud Lifter, and the Scarlett, and so that was my Christmas that year, because all of that equipment is not cheap for any one individual.
No, it is not. Wow. I mean, I'm going to have to genuinely take some tips off of you at some point, I think.
Well, you can talk to... Actually, the boys in Omega Star 7 are very knowledgeable about their tech gear because they were musicians for a very long time. And so they've helped me out a ton. Like, I'm like, hey, what's going on with this mic? They're like, set your settings at X, Y, and Z. I'm like, thanks. So a lot of learning has happened over the last 4 years because I came from no audio background whatsoever. I'm a tech nerd, so I get tech really well, but that was not my wheelhouse originally.
I don't think any of us came from a kind of musical or audio background. Did we, Jay?
None of us. I think you're by far the most knowledgeable in that sort of thing. We sort of kick everything towards you.
Knowledgeable.
comparable.
It comes with time, man. Like, I joke, like, when we're writing...
It plugs in.
Yeah. Any of my shows, I'm like, it's almost like we know what we're doing. Because you just get to a point where you've been doing it long enough that you just figured it out. Like, you're like, oh, use this tool, use that tool, use this mic, use these headphones, set it to this. And like, it's just from trial and error. And being brave enough to try.
Yeah. So what would you say to anyone that is trying to get into voice acting?
The biggest thing I say to people in general with this stuff is even tabletop voice acting. I have a friend who does like sketch comedy, is find your community. Find your community, whether that be on Discord, whether that be on Twitter, wherever it is you're at, find them and interact with them. Ask them questions. That the best way to learn is from others who've done it. Or figure it out together. Sometimes just having a soundboard to spit things at and be like, what do you think of that? Don't isolate, like, that's how I found all of this, is I was leveraging Dames on other shows, and I made so many friends. I was in Discord specifically for tabletop RPGs, and I made tons of friends and learned how they did stuff. And they might have done stuff differently than I would, but I learned things from them. And then also you've grown a community, so you just have people to talk about your stuff too. And you might be doing something and think you're doing a great job and then be like, yeah, but I'm having this one issue. And they're like, have you tried X, Y, and Z? And you're like, oh, I never thought of that. But it, you know, it was something simple. So I find your community. You don't have to like be on their shows or anything, but just talk to them. Like I learned all sorts of tabletop stuff just talking to other actual play people. And like, you know, how do you sit around the table and do it? Are you only doing it online? How do you do your dice rollers, you know, or in voice acting? It's like, how do you get in the mood? How do you, you know, rough your throat up? Now I've done some classes, so some of that's helped. I had to ask at one point, latter season of Omega Star 7 season 2, I had to scream a whole lot. And I was like, hey, how do I scream into the mic without popping it? Or muddying it, you know, like where I've gone red, you know. I'm like, how do you do that?
Peaking.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Thank you. I haven't had enough coffee today, apparently. And so, like, how do I do that? And so the guys had some suggestions, but I had other people coming at me, and they're like, well, this is how I do it. They're like, make sure you stand up. Make sure you're this far away from your mic. Make sure your gain's set to this. Face this way instead of this way so that it's not picking up all of it. And so it's just stuff like that because, like, I didn't know, and I could YouTube it, I guess, but hearing it from somebody that you know say, this is how I did it, adds to your catalog of information. And then you've made friends along the way.
It's funny you should say about the screaming. I literally just asked our friend Reed, who does our music, I was like, how do you scream into a mic without it peaking it? And he was just basically saying, just turn your gain down.
Yeah, turn your gain and don't, you know, usually you kind of record it at like this angle, that, what is that, like a 35 degree angle, you just turn a little bit further away and pull yourself away a little bit further, and then you scream. Probably good to warn the people who are downstairs that you're screaming. The first time I did it, I was at my other house, and I called all my neighbors. I was like, hey, just FYI, I'm going to be recording some screams. I'm okay. Because I didn't want like the cops to be called on me or something. Because like it's, I mean, you're screaming like really loud. But yeah, it's just stuff like that.
So and I'm are sure there any...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go on.
No, it's okay.
So are there any friends in particular you want to give a quick shout out to? In the way of this?
Oh gosh, I mean like all my creators. I mean, the Omega Star 7 boys have been in my life for what, three and a half years now. I went through a divorce last year, so I spent most of my evenings on calls with them while like going through all of that. So they've been there for me constantly in a time when I really needed them. The Space Castle team are really amazing guys that I was supposed to go to a beer festival with back in September, and my ex got COVID, and so I had to have the kids. So I didn't get to go, but I'm trying to go this year. I'd really like to see them. I've seen a lot of people, honestly. Modus Files is one of my other podcasts. It's a Fallout 76 story. And I adore that show. I've had a really great time, and I've made so many. I'm fully submerged now in Fallout. Like I cosplay, so I have like three cosplays going right now for Fallout. Of course, you know, it's Fallout season, if you will. I got a left-handed Pip-Boy because I'm left-handed, and I got really mad that they're always on the left arm. And like I was like, I have to take it off to eat. If I take a selfie, it's not going to be in the picture. And so I reached out to a guy on Etsy and was like, hey, do you think you can make me a left-handed Pip-Boy? And he was like, I didn't know that was, nobody's ever asked me. And I was like, please. And so he made me one for so I don't have to take it off when I eat. And so I'm very excited. Aww. I'm probably the only person who has a left-handed Pip-Boy. But hey, I don't know why I'm the only one who thought about this.
That's a genuinely good idea.
Yeah, well, I have now created a hashtag. There is a hashtag on Twitter, Pip Boys for Lefties, and I constantly use it because I would love for Bethesda, hey Bethesda, I would love for you to catch up on this and make me, because I bought the TV one. It doesn't come out till November, but I bought it because it's so pretty. It's metal and it's gorgeous and it's, yeah, it wasn't cheap, but you know, sometimes a girl's got to spoil herself. But it's on your left arm. And so I've been like, hey Bethesda, also, I don't know, maybe add it to the game. They're like, well, they'd have to code for that. I was like, you can literally change your lip like 3,000 different shapes and colors. Surely they can code me a Pip-Boy for my right arm. I'm just saying.
We know you watch. We know you watch us change it now.
So
this is our demand.
All they'd have to do is just mirror the animation.
Yep.
And just then mirror the screen.
Like I said, I've got the hashtag. We're just going to keep pushing it. Because I know it. I mean, I grant, I get it. We're 10% of the population or whatever. But that's enough of us. That's enough of us. And so I just think it would make people happy. Because, again, it's on your arm that you eat with. And you don't want to take them off because they're very fragile. You don't want to, like, break the hinge taking it on and off all day long at a con, you know? And so... Everybody else is like, just switch it. And I'm like, no, it's thinner at the wrist than it is at the forearm. You can't just put it on the other arm. It doesn't work that way. And so, at least one that's made right. So, things you don't think about unless you're left-handed, I guess.
Are there any other podcasts that you'd recommend that you listen to?
So, funny enough, I'm a podcaster who doesn't listen to a lot of podcasts. Because I don't have a commute, and I cannot listen while I work. I'm a coder. I can't split my attention like that. I'll pay attention to one or the other, and yeah, I'll be 3,000 episodes behind. But Omega Star 7 is my favorite podcast. Not just because I'm in it. I just adore it. The story. Frankly, I was a super fan before I became part of the production team. And they talk about me in their very first Q&A, where they're like, Chrissy the super fan. Like... Like,
that's
it is
sweet flower.
I absolutely adore it. Its sound design is exquisite. The story is funny and really engaging. And it only got better as we brought on more people in the team. Not that Skylar hanging it by himself wasn't brilliant, but having other voices to help him, I think, really just really brought life to the show. I love Z1 podcast. I'm not involved in that one at all, but it is a zombie podcast about a couple in this tiny town in England called Faringdon. And it's just about them living their British life in a post-apocalyptic zombie land. And they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. Aaron and Katie, they're a real life couple. And it's about Aaron and Katie. And they're like 7 to 10 minutes long. They're not long at all. So they're very easy to listen to, like, as you go throughout your day. You know, like, I'm fit 7 minutes in. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'll listen on the way to the grocery store, you know. It is by far one of my favorite. Memester of the Week is my favorite actual play. They play Monster of the Week. Again, my favorite show. They're just fun. It's a fun story that they've created. Their dynamic at the table is very entertaining. And I don't listen to a lot of actual plays. That's not my jam. But I was listening to it at the time because I was researching games and stuff like that and fell into it, and I just digested them. And I've actually played with their creator at one point, as just for funsies. I'm trying to think of what other podcasts I listen to. I listen to the Modus Files. I try to listen to any show I'm on because I'm in it, so I feel like I should at least know what's going on. Wizard Scrolls. It's one I'm on. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely positively ridiculous. When I first joined it, I almost didn't use my name as a credit because I was like, I mean, the jokes are about pot and 69, like, constantly. It is irreverent and crass, and I swear a whole lot, but it's very entertaining and it's very cute and it's a lot of fun. And to be fair, I am the lead female and the lead antagonist, so there's that going for me, I guess. What Chris has created there is quite fun, and he's animated it some, which is amazing. I get to see my voice animated. That was the biggest cool thing I've ever. I was like, holy cow, I'm animated now. I've been a cartoon. So but yeah, again, though, I'm a mom of two kids. I frankly am so busy. I have so many roles. I'm in like a dozen shows, y'all. And so my free time is fairly limited. And when I'm really like free time, I'm playing video games, which is, you know, not very often. So I'm going to be on my video games. And so that's my jam.
Now we got to ask, what games do you play?
Well, currently 76, because... I fell into that. Like I said, I joined the Modus Files, and I was not a Fallout girl at all. I knew of it because my ex-husband played it, but I've never played it. And so I was like, well, I should at least know what Fallout is if I'm going to like represent this podcast. And I got Fallout 76 for the PlayStation, and I started playing it, very overwhelmed. First MMO I've played since WoW in the early 2000s. I'm a girl who went through Gamergate, so I'm very anxious about playing online with other people. And so I was very apprehensive, but it actually turned out to be such a beautiful community that it sucked me right in. Like, the community surrounding Fallout in general is pretty amazing, and the 76 community is beautiful. Now, you have your jerks. You're always going to have your jerks. But as a general audience, they are quite incredible. And so, long story short, all of my guys on my team play on the Xbox. It's not a cross-platform game. And so I was like, dang, I can't play with you. If only I had an Xbox. But I was in the middle of a divorce. There was no way I was going to afford that. So I put it on my throne on Twitter. I was like, hey, I'm just going to put that out there. Anybody want to buy me an Xbox? And sure enough, I got an Xbox bought for me. And so I started playing in late July, early August last year. And I leveled to 577 this morning. So I play a lot when I can. Yeah. Well, like, yeah, I've known people who've played since Alpha who are only level 300. And that was 6 years ago. They've been playing for 6 years. So apparently my skills have stayed with me after all these years of not playing games. So, but I played Witcher for a really long time. Witcher 3 is totally my jam. I played a lot of Don't Starve, which is a Klee game. It's a survival game. Love Klee games. They're cerebral in a really fun way. I was a PC gamer for a really long time. Then I got the Xbox. So slowly but surely, I'm starting to realize that a lot of those games are now on the Xbox, and I do not have to upgrade the laptop, which these days are very expensive. So I'm okay having them as separate entities for their specific purposes. She gestures to the TV behind her. You can see how I play here. but yeah, so, and frankly, I mean, I'm discovering games all the time. I played a little bit of Mass Effect, but I didn't have a lot of time to put towards it. I'd like to try to pick it up again at some point, but it's just a matter of time, which I don't have a ton of. People are like, you should try that. I'm like, yeah, I'll add that to the list.
That's there. I think we all have a backlog of games we bought and we're like,
yeah, right, it's like the to be eventually. It's like your to be read pile, you know, you always have the pile of books that you're like, I'll get to that. Yeah, it's the to be gamed pile. Yeah, there's definitely,
I'm looking at mine now.
Yeah. Or you sometimes just want to go back, like I played Stardew Valley for ages, and like, you know, sometimes you just want a little bit of Stardew Valley in your life. That's why people who like to watch people game, I'm like, I can't understand that, because my time is so limited. If I'm gonna be doing anything related to games, I want to be playing, like. But I am a gamer girl, so it's a thing. Sorry.
Okay.
I have lots of dogs. I don't know if you can hear them. Sorry.
It's all good.
No.
So that's the last question, Matt. I don't know why you're looking at me.
I said, do you want to close it out?
Sure. So, real quick, can you tell people where to find you if they want to, just like Twitter handle, whatever?
Yeah. Okay. So I am Chrissy Williams. You can find me on Twitter at xchrissyx. It's pretty easy. KRISSI with X's on each side. I have a website. It's Virtual Chrissy, VirtualKrissi.com. That has links to pretty much everything, all of my shows, to my IMDb, to I think maybe my Discord. I don't know. xChrissyx is pretty much me everywhere because I've had it for so long. like once email became a thing, that's how long I've had it. That was my first email address. And so, that's not true. I had email at AOL, but we don't count that. So I'm on Twitter the most. I am on Instagram and some of the others, but that is more private because my children are there and I keep them separated from my, my online persona. And I don't want, I've had some issues with people trying to find me. And so I try to keep my kids safe as best I can. So I keep anything that can literally locate where I'm at, I keep private so that you can't find me there. You can find me, but you're not going to be able to friend me. So, yeah. But yeah, Twitter's pretty much, I'm there pretty much all day.
Right. Thank you then for coming to Behind the Bar with Pint of Cthulhu.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. That's like, I was like, oh, an interview. Yeah, let's do that. That sounds fun.
Well, I mean, you've been saying your time is limited. We do very much appreciate you giving us this time.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, thank you very much, and goodbye to anyone who's listening.
Goodbye, people.
And cut.